Luke chapter number 15. All right, I'm not going to keep you long tonight. Luke chapter number 15. All right. Well, preacher, I'm going to be preaching about somebody tonight that I've never preached on, I don't believe. And I'm going to preach it out of the story of the prodigal son, but I'm not going to preach about the prodigal son. I'm going to preach about his brother. I've heard preachers talk about this brother, and he's always referred to as the jealous brother. And I've never really thought about it until this week. I was studying and praying about preaching tonight. And I wonder if there's some things about this brother maybe we overlooked. I've heard preachers talk about him being a jealous brother, and an evil brother, and a wicked brother, and having his the wrong kind of a motive. But we're going to read it and look at it and talk about it in just a minute and just see what's going on here. We'll read the story and talk just a few minutes about it. I don't have a real long message, but I saw some things in here that I've never really looked at before, never really thought about. And I believe we could learn something from it. In verse number 11 of Luke 15, the Bible said, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided to them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to call thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and said what these things meant. And he said to him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Here's what I'm going to preach about tonight, and I sound like an unusual title. I'm going to preach on the good son. The good son. If either one of these teenagers did not want a pattern after either one of these two boys, I'd want it to be the second one. I wouldn't want it to be the one that rebelled and said, Give me what's coming to me, and went out and lived a wild, rebellious life and wasted everything they had and had to come back with their head down and throw their life away. I know this is a wonderful, beautiful story of repentance and forgiveness, and I know that is. And I know the reason that this is in the story so that Jesus is trying to teach us the wonderful aspect of forgiveness. The elder brother didn't really fully understand what all this was about, but Jesus was trying to get him to understand the boy was lost. In this same chapter is the lost sheep and the lost coin. Here was a lost son, and now there's rejoicing, and there's this big feast and this big party, you might want to call it, and we're rejoicing. And if there's anything to be said about this young man, he did have some qualities in this story that we could learn from and we could gather from and we could learn from and we could pattern after. There's some good things about him. I know he might have been a little jealous, and I be honest with you, I might would have too. You probably would have if you stayed there on the farm, and we know it was farmers because of the things that's mentioned there. He's working in the field, they talk about fatted calves. talked about a kid. He talked about, it sounded like farm life. It didn't sound like he was working in a factory or in a city. It was farm life. So he had some things about him that was good things. He just didn't understand why a lot of us are like that. We just don't get it sometimes. I don't think we fully understand the grasp of forgiveness and how wonderful it is when somebody comes to the altar and comes to Jesus and gets saved. And we'll just sit back and smile and nod our head. I don't think we realize. We don't really realize what goes on in heaven, that God gave his son on the cross of Calvary, that he died a brutal, terrible death, that he shed his blood and died on the cross for sinners, and that some young boy, young girl, or a young man, a young lady, an old man, old woman come to the altar and got saved. They're rejoicing around the throne of God. We're just sitting here like, I wonder if it's time to go home yet. I'm getting hungry. We don't even get it. And that's the way that boy was. He didn't understand it wasn't that he was evil or wicked. I've heard preachers preach that this young man had an evil heart and he was jealous. And the Bible didn't say that. The Bible didn't say he was evil or he's wicked. He just didn't understand. He had a carnal mind. He didn't look at it in a spiritual insight. He didn't have a spiritual mind. And that's the way we are sometimes. We just don't get it. I'll tell you some good things about him. Sometimes we just don't get it. Think about this. Which would bother you more today? If somebody come to church and you know somebody raised their hand. Preacher said, somebody raised their hand for salvation this morning and somebody didn't come to this altar and get saved. You walked out of this church and somebody backed into your car and scratched it while we was at church and didn't leave a note, which would upset you the most? Getting quiet, ain't it? It'd bother you more if somebody tore up that pretty new car than for you to think about somebody left this church unprepared to meet God because you just don't get it. We just don't get it. That's the way this boy was. But that's why Jesus told this story. That's why he's included in this parable because he's trying to get us to understand the same with the 99. The shepherd left the 99 and went hunting for that one because it's so important. The woman had the lost coin. She had those coins and she had 10 pieces and lost one, and she moved and swept everything and tore the whole house apart just to find that one lost coin. That's the value God puts on a lost soul. Oh, brother, if we put the same value on that, there's no telling what God could do with men and women, boys and girls, if we looked at a lost soul the same way that God does. Amen. I'll give you a few things about this young man that we can learn from and we should be like. First of all, I want you to notice he was a willing son. Verse number 25, the Bible said, the elder son was in the field. Now the younger son, we found out earlier in the story, he said, Father, give me all the goods that falleth to me. And his daddy said, okay, here you go. With a broken heart and a sad countenance, he gave the young man all the money and all his inheritance, knowing the young man wasn't ready for it, knowing that he was going to go out and blow it, knowing that he was going to waste his inheritance. A lot of these people are doing the same thing today, giving their teenagers things that they know they can't handle. For the life of me, I don't understand people giving a 15-year-old a $50,000 car, knowing they can't handle it. Amen? Things like that. Giving a 16-year-old boy a pretty girlfriend and turning him loose with a new car. You're out of your mind, man. You ain't right in the head. You need your head checked. That's right. But he was a willing son, and he stayed home. He was willing to stay. Now, I want to show you something here you probably haven't thought about, but this young boy, the elder son, was willing to stay. The Bible said here, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And in the latter part of that verse, look at your text, verse 12. And he divided unto them his living. You see that? He divided unto what? Them. The Bible said he did this. He probably, the way I understand it now, according to the Bible, he said, okay, if that's the way you feel about it, he said, young man, junior, here's your part. And the older boy said, I'm going to give you your part too. I'm going to divide you up with both of you. Here's your inheritance, and I'm going to give you your inheritance. Now, both of you got your inheritance. Do what you want to. You're old enough. If you're old enough to have yours, you're older than him. The older always got the blessing, and the older always got the inheritance. If I'm going to give you yours, I've got to give him his, and he gave him his also. But you know what the older brother did? He said, I ain't going nowhere, Daddy. I ain't going nowhere. I will stay with you. He was willing to stay. He said, I ain't going nowhere. I know where the good stuff. grandmama is willing to stay. He's willing to serve. I'll just keep working. That young boy said, I know more about life than Daddy does. Daddy thinks he knows everything. He's old broken down. Old man thinks he knows everything. I got some friends. I got two hairs on my chest. I shave once a month. I know a little bit about life. I watch MTV and I got me a cell phone. I know more than Daddy does. But the Bible said he went into a far country not many days, which means he already had his mind up to leave. He got his money, and the Bible said he left, and not many days hence. It wasn't long. It don't take long to blow a lifetime. The Bible said he gave them his. Not the boy's living. His living. The money he'd worked for. The daddy had worked for. The daddy worked for that all his life. The daddy had worked and labored and toiled out there in the field, out looking at the rear end of a mule and oxen and pulling a plow and a cultivator for years and years and years and years, while them little boys was in a playpen, and while there's a little kid sucking on a bottle, and while they was running around playing in the yard, the daddy was working out there in the hot sun all those years, and he divided it with them boys, and that one boy just took it and ran off with it like he deserved it. The rights of the people, that's mine, I deserve it. Here, take it and go on with it. That's what's wrong to many of the people. He said, the older one said, I'll just stay here, Daddy. He might say, now, son, here's the way it is. Your son, your brother wants his inheritance. He thinks he deserves it, and he thinks he's ready. I'm going to give him his, but it's only fair that I'll give you yours. He said, I ain't going nowhere, Dad. I'm going to stay here. Well, you can leave if you want to. I ain't going to make you stay. Young boy might have been 18, 17, 18. Older one might have been 21, 22. He might have said, I can't make you stay. He probably said, well, I'm staying here with you, Dad, unless you're going to make me leave. I ain't met the woman I want to marry yet, so I'm going to stay here and help you on the farm, help you and Mom. And he said, well, good. I don't want you to leave. Amen? He's willing to stay. Thank God for a willing son. We ought to be willing sons. We ought to be willing. He's willing to stay. He's willing to serve. And he's willing to submit. You know how the old saying goes, don't you? If you stay here, he probably said, now, son, if you stay here on this place and live in my house, eat my groceries, what's the rest of it? You live by my rules. Daddy, I'm 25 now. My curfew ought to be 2 in the morning. Maybe it should. But it's my house, and we go to bed at 11. So bless God, you're going to bed at 11. I ain't going to bed at 11 and be woke up at 2 while you come tying in here. That's right, brother. Amen. You date my daughter, you come home when I say you come home. I don't care what time you go to bed, but you come in my house when I say you come in my house. He's got to be willing to submit. The younger one wasn't willing for that. He said, I want my own rules. And he got them. He got his own rules. He got to do what he wants. Once he got that money in his hand and stuck in his pocket, got his own clothes, his own friends, his own car, and he did what he wanted to, he went to Vegas and partied and played the slot machine. Y'all understand what I'm saying here, don't you? I'm trying to make it in modern terms so you can grasp the magnitude of what he did. He went and made his own rules. He said, I'll party all night long. I'll drink till I puke, and ain't nobody going to tell me when to go to bed or when to go. Get up. He did that. He did it. But it didn't last long. Like that boy said, I'm tired of rules. I'm tired of being told what to do. I'm tired of being told when to go to bed, when to get up. And I'm sick and tired of being bossed around. I'm leaving. So I said, where are you going? He said, I'm joining the Marines. That's right. This preacher told him, he said, that's what I'd do, son. He said, that's what I'd do. About 6 months later, on his first furlough, he come back like this. He said, how you doing, sir? And he said, he stood up. Start calling him by sir and ma'am. They changed his team, buddy. He was willing then. Listen, I'm saying, what made this the good son, he was willing. Number two, he was a willing son, but he was a working son. If you'll notice in verse 25, the elder son was where? Does anybody remember where he's at? He was in the field, brother. The Bible didn't say he's sitting back in the recliner or he's sitting out there in the game room shooting pool or playing a video game. You know, most kids nowadays, the strongest muscle in their body is their rear end and their thumbs. They're sitting on their tail playing video games, and their brain's numb, man. That's all they know. They don't know how to work. They don't know how to do anything. Your average teenage boy don't know how to lift the hood on the car. They don't know what a dipstick is. They think it's an insult. Hey, dipstick, go get me a Pepsi. Ain't that right? Hey, boy, raise that dipstick and check the oil. They don't know what you're talking about. Boy, go get that lawnmower and bring it out here and bring that leaf blower with you. They don't know which is which. Because they know what work is. You know whose fault that is? a sorry low-down daddy that hadn't raised them right. Amen, brother. Raise the boys and the girls. I told my little girl when she was just little, I mean, she's a pretty young lady. When we go fishing, I slide the worms across the field, the dock at her, Brother Jeff, or across the river or whatever. If you want to fish, you gut them yourself. If you want to fish, there's a fish, take him off the hook. Sometimes I make her take mine off. Here, Candace, I want to get my hands dirty, take my fish off. Just for meanness. Make her stink, make her look and smell like she's been fishing. You know why? Because that's good for them, brother. It's good for them to work. It's good for them to pull on a weed until they got blisters, until they sweat. This young boy, he was a working son. While the other boy was out partying and living it up, there's nothing wrong with having a good time, but he wasn't ready for that. There ain't nothing wrong with vacation, having fun and living it up and going skiing and going and playing ball and just having a good time. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But this boy hadn't earned it yet. Working's one of the best things in the world for a person. I've been laid up for the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to tell you what's the truth. If I had to do that, I'd go strap myself to a rocket somewhere and light the fuse, brother. Shoot myself into outer space. I kid you not. I would rather die than God take me to heaven. If that's the kind of life, just live off the government, lay around, look at the TV. Honest to God. Ask my wife, I'm about to go crazy. I'm driving her crazy. It's killing me. I can't stand it. I don't know what people do, how they live like that. What do you do with your life? I mean, there's always so many commercials you can look at about calling a lawyer about your hurt self or the pit of medicine you took. Amen? About suing somebody or, my God, I mean, Lord have mercy. There's just so many. There's just so much stuff you look at. Is everybody with me? I want to work. I want to do something. I want to tear something up so I can fix it. Ain't that right? Do like that, Brother Heath. Sometimes I just not just walk by and just kick something over and break it. Oh, that needs fixing. Amen. I ain't quite got to the place where I want to clean house yet, but I'll get across my mind about twice. Them clothes need washing. But I ain't quite got that far, but it would have been easier for him to leave and spend his inheritance. But he said, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to work. God knows we need people that'll work. We need people that'll work. We need people that'll work. We need working Christians. Y'all have heard me say this a million times. Everybody that gets involved in a church is the same way people get involved in society. The minority are the ones that work, and the majority are the ones that just rides the train and pulls the whistle and makes the noise. It's always just the minority that throws the coal in the boiler and makes it run. Church is the same way. People show up at the church, I want to get involved, I want to help all I can. You just sit back and watch. We're having a big dinner next week, brother, sister. See what they bring, see what they cook. We're having a work day. Yeah. Same ones that always does all the work. Same ones that always does all the cooking. We're having a special offering, friends. Same ones that keeps giving. That's the same ones that does it all. I know who the church is. I know who they are. I know exactly, brother. Exactly. Spell the Z on the front. I know exactly who they are. And them few that don't never give, don't never cook, won't never cut a blade of grass, but they stump their tongue. You think I'm going to run around there and sit on their back porch and pet them and give them a sugar tent? You're crazy. You look. I got other things to do. I ain't built like that, brother. Preachers, that favorite tells them, I don't know what it is, but I ain't made like that. Now, if you need me, brother, you know at the drop of a hat, I'll come. You know I will. Ask anybody here if ever had anything happen. You know I will. This crowd just flies in and flies out. Don't make me mad. The other night when I said that, I said some people, when they leave, I don't even care if they come back or not. Some people looked at me like, well, I never. I thought, you pastor a church about 30 years, you'll feel the same way. Is that right? Some people leave. I ain't going after them. They left us. We didn't leave them. We didn't take the church and move. They didn't show up and the church was gone. They left. They didn't call us. Hey, they didn't call us say we're leaving. They didn't write us a letter. Some other church sent us a letter. They didn't even give us the dignity of writing a letter and say, this is why we left. Some other church had to send us a little form letter. And say why they didn't say why they left. We're just informing you that so and so has decided to come and be a part of our church. Good luck. One lady left, went and joined another church. I said, brother, I hope she took every bit of her tongue with her. It's 40 foot long. I promised I was going to be sweet tonight, but I feel a mean streak coming. Must have been too much gunpowder on Cheerios on that. Number three, he was a welcome son. Look at verse 28. And he was angry and would not go in. Look at this. This shows you he wasn't wicked. Because his father came out, and his father went out and entreated him. If he had done something wicked, his father would have rebuked him. His father would have come out and said, son, that's evil that's in your heart. He didn't say that. He went out there and put his arm around him. He said, now, son, you're not looking at this right. You just don't understand. Listen to me. Let me explain it to you, right? That shows you he wasn't wicked. That shows you he might have been a little bit jealous. His feelings was hurt. I get my feelings hurt. You do too. That's only human. We're just human. I mean, good gracious, an old dog gets their feelings hurt. You put one of the dogs in a truck and leave the other sitting on the ground, drive off and leave him. He'll sit there and look at you like, oh, come on, I'm good to go. Throw one of them a pork chop, leave the other and just sitting there. They're like, what's that for? Why don't I get one? I mean, that's the way it was. His feelings was hurt. And this is what he said. He said, I've served you all these years, and you never even gave me a kid and have a party with my friends. What he meant was you didn't give me a little old goat. And your son went out and blowed your living that you worked for, Daddy. I watched you work for it. He blowed it. And this fatted calf business is something. They took a steer and put him in the barn and grain feed that sucker till he's about to pop. He's so big and fat. You talk about ribeye steaks, brother. That grain feed him, not pasture feed him. Grain feed him until something special happened. And they'd take him in and bust him in the head and kill him and feed him. You talk about steaks. He said, you never even give me a little goat. And he went out and blowed it on whores and partying and liquor. And you killed the fatted calf for him. It don't make sense. How many times have we looked at God and said, God, I don't understand it. It seems like I've labored in the field and worked myself to death. And these people just come and go and come and go. And they don't know how to do nothing for you. It seems like everything they do turns to gold. And God has to put his arm around you and say, son, this thing ain't over yet. There's a payday still coming. One of these days, I'm going to settle it up. One of these days, there's going to be a reward coming. One of these days, you're going to come around the home stretch and see the checkered flag, and I'm going to make all things right. I'm going to make it all good, son. It's going to all come out in the wash. Amen. He was a welcome son. The younger son knew he had damaged his relationship. Because in verse 21, he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the older son spoke right up to his father. You see that? He was a welcome son. The younger son dropped his head and said, I ain't even your son anymore. But the older son just walked right up and talked to his daddy. We can walk right into the throne room of God because we're welcome sons. And the Bible tells us we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Hebrews 4:16 said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Bible said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Not because you're good or you're special, but because of Jesus Christ. You're a welcome son because the blood of the Lamb of God was shed for you on the cross. And you have that right to come to God because you're a welcome son. Because Jesus paid it all to him all. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Thank God you're a welcome son tonight. Hallelujah. He was a welcome son. Not only that, but he was a worthy son. Verse 31. Look at verse 19. The younger one said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me a hired servant. Okay? Compare verse 19 to verse 31. Here's what the daddy said to the older son. He said, son, thou art ever with me. Thou art ever with me. He said, thou art ever with me. And he said, all I have is thine. He said, don't worry about that little kid. Don't worry about that fatted calf in the stall, sonny boy. He said, all this is yours. He said, see those fields of grain as far as I can see? All that's yours. All I have is yours. He said, someday I'm going to fold my hands in death. Someday my eyes are going to close for the last time. And he said, everything you see, all these tractors and all these barns and all these houses, everything you see is yours. You've inherited it all. You listen, sometimes we lose sight of that, Brother Jeff. Sometimes we think, Lord, it just don't seem right. It don't seem fair. I mean, here we are. We put up the 4 years of this crazy man in the White House, and God help, he gets it again the second term. And God said, hey, look, son, I'm ever with you. I'm always going to be with you. It don't matter if somebody worse than Obama gets in. I'm always going to be with you. And everything I have is yours. David said, I look into the hills from which cometh my help. Oh, brother, listen. He said he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And old mountain preacher said, he owns all the taters in the hills. He owns it all. He said, everything I have is yours. Whatever God has, you have. He was a worthy son. He said, you're my son. You know what I'm most proud of my sons? I'm proud of them for lots of reasons. I can give you a list. A list. But I'm proud of them most of all because they're mine, Brother Sam. I'm proud of them because they're my sons. If that's the only thing they ever did, I'm proud of them because they're me. They're my boys. I'm proud of them. That's what he's telling them. He said, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. He said, I haven't lost you. He said, the other boy was gone. He was dead. Now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. Ronnie, come on the piano. I'll say the last thing we see in this boy. He was a willing son, a working son, a welcome son, and a worthy son. I've kind of got ahead of myself just a little bit. But he's a wealthy son. He's a wealthy son. He said, son, everything I have is thine. And the Bible said, Ephesians 2:6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Sometimes it's hard to believe that we're wealthy, because like I was preaching last week, it's like we're in prison in the world. We don't see it that way because we look at the world, and it's like the wicked have so much. And sometimes we're talking about contentment in Sunday school. Sometimes you just get by, you know. But sometimes that's all we need, just to get by. Oh, brother, think about Thanksgiving coming up. What's the number one thing you're thankful for? Number one thing, salvation. What if you wasn't saved tonight? You're wealthy beyond, you know. I was preaching about some of them people this morning that had all that money. Talking about Michael Jackson. Why is it you think he had to take that? I forget what you call that stuff. Sheldon knows the name of it. I'm sure where they put you under. Why do you think a man would have to have a doctor put him to sleep? If he had Jesus in his heart, man, he could just be like this. Amen. Fall right off, man. Go to sleep with the peace of God in his heart and wake up with it. Amen? You know I'm telling it right. Bible said there was people over in Hebrews 11, said there was others that wandered about in caves and dens, and they had their children and their families rent in pieces and killed, and the persecution of the early church. And they wandered looking for a city and looking for, you know, they're talking about faith. The hall of faith, and they still just kept, they still had their faith, and they still had peace. And that's an exceeding wealthy, that's riches. See, like we were talking about this morning, worldly riches only can only put clothes on you, and put you in a car, or put you in a house, or buy you a light, or paint that wall, put your hat on your head, or jewelry. Get you a ring or a watch or a necklace or a hairdo. But it can't do nothing in here. It can't fix none of that. It might make your house warmer. It might make your house cooler. It might make your car drive better. It might make you look better. But inside, But this boy was a wealthy son and didn't realize it. And what his daddy had to remind him was, he said, just look around, son. Everything I got, you got. And God has to remind us of that. We believe and realize that God owns the world in the palm of his hand. Remember that little song you learned when you was a kid? He holds the world in the palm of his hand. He owns it. So do we. Whatever he owns, we own. But the great riches that he gave us are forgiveness and peace and joy and assurance and a home in heaven. A new body someday. I was thinking about that this week. I thought, man, I can't wait. Looking forward to it. Amen. I want to have those attributes that when he comes back, he'll say, welcome, thy good and faithful servant. Really, if you think about it, this jealous son that kind of got his nose bent out of joint a little bit, really, he was the good son. Well, he stayed there and stayed faithful and kept working. He didn't fully understand the forgiveness part. But I believe he did later. I'd rather be like him than to be like the other one. Because the other one, when he came back, he had scars on him. And he lost some stuff he never got back. That inheritance he wasted, he never got it back. He never got his testimony back. In those years or months or what that time span was, while he was gone, he never got that back either. Be careful getting out in the world. There's things you lose you can't get back. Let's stand tonight.